Begin the current daf, Ksubis daf Samach Gimel. Begin on the bottom of daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, four lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, although we said that there's an obligation of Oina that's incumbent upon the husband, however, Talmudic scholars follow the opinion of the Chacham who argue on Reb Eliezer of our Mishnah, who he said that although a Talmud Chacham could only go for a month at a time without permission from his wife, they would go for much longer, for years at a time, and they would go to yeshiva and leave their wives back at home. Now the Gemara brings a famous story regarding someone who also left his wife a long period of time and was very successful in his learning. Rabbi Kiva was Raya de Ben Kalba Savuahava. He was the shepherd of Ben Kalba Savua, who was one of the names of one of the wealthiest individuals in Yerushalayim. The reason why he was called Kalba Savua was whoever came in as hungry as a dog, that's Kalba, would go out hungry and would go out satiated and satisfied. That's why it was called Kalba Savua, come in as hungry as a dog, go out satisfied. Now, Chazite Brate, Rabbi Kiva was his shepherd. So this wealthy man's daughter saw Rabbi Kiva, the Havatini O'Malley, that he was modest and that he was refined. Now, Tosis points out an apparent contradiction from a Gemara Pesachim, Daf Mem Tesma Beis, which is also much quoted. Rabbi Kiva says that when he was in Amaretz, before he went to learn yeshiva, as he was in the shepherd, he was ignoramus, he said that, who would give me a Talmudic scholar? I'll bite him like a donkey. Sounds like he wasn't refined. So Tosis says that is only because, it's not because he hated Talmudic scholars because he was a bad person. It's because he thought that they degraded the ignorant type of people because of their Torah, and as if because they were haughty and proud of themselves, and that's why he hated them. But this, that he went and he did different things, for example, that Talmidei Chachamim are disparaging regarding the Amaratzim, regarding their garments, that they don't touch their garments. However, Rabbi Natan points out, but he was a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. He just thought what was being done was an injustice. And how could Talmudic scholars hold themselves as the elite of what's going on? Again, that was only before he understood exactly what a Talmud Chacham was. But it's not like he was a bad person. He actually was very refined, and he thought he was fighting the fight of justice. So Amar Leh, so the daughter of Ben Kalba Savua said to Rabbi Kiva, Imekad Chanalach, if I get engaged to you, if I get married to you, Azla Sabei Rav, will you go to the yeshiva to learn? So Amalah, he said to her, in yes. So he catch a little bit sinner. So she got engaged to him in private. Bishadarta, and she sent him off to go learn yeshiva. So Shama Avua, her father, heard, Afkami Beise. He threw her out of the house. And Adrahanom Nichse, and he forbade her from having any pleasure from any of his assets. He thought his daughter's going to marry the biggest tzaddik, biggest Talmud Chacham. And here she goes and marries the shepherd. So Azal Yosef Treis Reishnin Bebei Rab. Rabbi Kiva went, and he sat and learned yeshiva for 12 years. Now Kiyasa, when he came back, Aisi Bahadei Treis Rei Alfer Tameti, came and he brought with him 12,000 students. That's how successful he was in his learning. Now Shamela Husaba de Kamala, as he was coming back home, he heard this elderly person telling his wife, Ad Kama, as we continue on top of Samachil Medav, Komedabres, until how long will you accustom yourself? Amonas Chaim, being a living widow, because essentially it's like you don't have a husband. What's this? You're married and he's away for 12 years? So Amalei, so his wife said to this person, Eli didit Sayas, if he would listen to me, Yosef Treis Reishni Achrine, I would want him to sit another 12 years and learn. So Amas Kiva, when he heard this, said, Bershus Kavidno, he says, I'm doing this with permission, as we learned regarding this necessity of getting permission. Hadar Azal v'Yosef Treis Reishni Achrine b'Bei Rav, he went and went back straight back to yeshiva to learn for another 12 years without ever stopping at home. Now Kiyasa, when he finally did come back, after 24 years, Aisi Bahadei Esrin Va'arbo Alfei Tamidin. Now he brought 24,000 students. Now Shama de Beisus, his wife, heard that he's coming home. Havas Kanafka La'ape, so she was going out to greet him. So Amrli Shivavta, so her neighbors told her, Sh'ili Mani Lovush V'chasoy, go ahead and borrow clothing and clothe yourself because you don't have anything. It's not appropriate to go ahead and receive your husband to greet tzaddik the way you're dressed. So Amalahu, she said to them, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, Yedea tzadik nefesh behemtai. The righteous one knows the soul of his animal. In other words, he'll know me, even if I'm not dressed appropriate attire. Now Kimati Ligabe, when she came to him, Nafal al apa, she fell on her face. Komanashka lilakara, she was kissing his feet. Havukomat v'chalei shamoi. However, his attendant, Kiva's attendant, this great big Rosh Hashiva with 24,000 students was pushing her away. Who's this woman? So Amalahu, he said to them, Shafkua, leave her alone. And that's because Shali, meaning the Torah that I learned, Vishalachem, the Torah that you learned, Shalahu, it's all hers. It's because of her that we have all this Torah. Shama Avuah de Asa Gavah Rabba L'Masa, her father, Ben Kalba Sevuah, heard that a great Talmud Chacham came to the city. So Amar, he said to himself, Ezi L'Gabe, let me go to this great Talmud Chacham. Efshe D'Meifin Nidroi, maybe he'll be able to nullify my vow that I took against my daughter, 24 years that I can't even support her because of the neder that I took. So Asa Gabe, he came to Rabbi Kiva. So Amar, Rabbi Kiva said to him, Adaita de Gavah Rabba Minadarta? Did you, when you took an oath regarding forbidding your daughter from having any hanof from your nechasim, did you have in mind that if her husband, who was a lowly shepherd, if he had become a great person, would you have made such a vow and thus made it forbidden? Which is known as finding a Pesach for the neder. If he didn't, and this is ultimately what happened, then the neder would have been nullified. So Amalei, he said to him, Afilo perek echad v'afilo halacha achas, even if he knew just one chapter of learning or just one halacha would be enough for me. I just wanted my daughter to marry Talmud Chacham, someone that learns Torah, and he wasn't. He was a lowly shepherd. He knew nothing. But if he would know something, then of course I would never have made a neder. So Amalei, so Rabbi Kiva said to him, Anohu, I am that shepherd of yours. I am the husband of your daughter. I am your son-in-law. So Nafal Alapa, he fell on his face. V'nashke Alkara, he kissed Rabbi Kiva's foot. V'yavli Palgaman, they gave him half of his money. Now the Gemara says, Beratid Rabbi Kiva, the daughter of Rabbi Kiva, Avdilei LeBenazai Hachi, did the same thing to Benazai, that she went in private, married him, and sent him off to learn yeshiva. That's what people say, that Rechela Basra Rechela Azra, that the ewe follows the ewe, meaning a female sheep follows the mother female sheep. In other words, if the ima kach, if the brata, like the mother does, so do the daughter does, just like her mother went, without, unbeknownst to her father, went and married this person and sent them off to yeshiva, so too was her daughter. Now the Gemara continues with another story, that Rav Yosef Berei de Rava, Shadri Avuhi Lebei Rav Lekamed Rav Yosef, his father sent him to learn yeshiva in front of Rav Yosef. Now Paskele Shishni, he set for him that he's going to support him for 6 years after he gets married. Now, when it was 3 years into the 6 years, it was reached Erev Yom Kippur. So Amar, he said, okay, I haven't seen my family in 3 years. Let me go home and see my family. Shama Avui, his father, heard that he's coming home from yeshiva. So Shakal Mana, he took weapons as if he's going to fight with him. But Nafilapi, he went out to greet him. Amalei, he said to his son, Zaynaschan this karta? Did you remember your harlot? What is this? Why are you coming, leaving the time of learning? Ikadam, those who said to Amalei, he said to him, Zaynaschan this karta? You remembered your dove? Now, the Gemara tells that Itrin, they got caught up in this fight where he said, what do you mean? You're supposed to learn for 6 years and not supposed to come home. And he says, look, I wanted to see my family. And Loimar Ifsik, Veloimar Ifsik. Neither one of them was able to eat the Suda on Erev Yom Kippur, which is called the Suda Hamafsekis, which is when one stops the eating and eats the last meal and starts fasting, which that's the last meal on Erev Tisha B'Av and Erev Yom Kippur, which is called Suda Hamafsekis, and they weren't able to eat it because they were so caught up in this fight on Erev Yom Kippur about if he should be coming home to see his family or should he be staying in yeshiva. Again, illustrating both points that we discussed in the previous daf, the importance of Torah learning, at the same time the understanding of one's obligation to one's wife. Now the Mishnah, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the obligations of a husband to a wife and the wife to a husband. Hameredis al baila, a woman that rebels against her husband. The Gemara will explain exactly what does it mean, a wife rebelling. But whatever that means, paichsalam muksubasa shiva dinar b'shabbos. So as long as she rebels, we keep on diminishing from her ksuba 7 dinarin every week. Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's shiva tarpa'ikin. That's how much it is a week, and the Gemara will explain. Now, ad masehu paichis, until what do we keep on diminishing to? So Tanakhama says, ad kineged ksubasa, until the amount of our ksuba. Once the ksuba has been depleted, then he gives her the get without a ksuba. But he doesn't continue diminishing from her assets, even what she got from her father's house, like the nechsim log, and to make her lose that we don't. Once her ksuba is depleted, then he divorces her. Now Rabbi Yisrael, he argues, he says, la'olam u'parches v'aylach, no, he keeps on diminishing from her assets, ad shem tipa lo yerusha mimakam acha, that even if she had inherited assets from somewhere else, ga'ivim, and he could keep on collecting even from those items. Now the Mishnah says, same thing is in reverse. If a man rebels to his wife, we continue adding to our ksuba. 3 dinar weekly. I think we'll explain why the discrepancy by her is a larger amount than by the husband. He says, again, as he did in the first one, it's not 3 dinar, but it's 3 tapa'ikin. Now, the Gemara asks, as we explained in the Mishnah, what exactly is she rebelling from where we penalize her with this diminishment of her ksuba weekly? So, Rav Huna, he says, mitash mashamita. It means if she refuses to have cohabitation with her husband. Rav Yisrael Rav Chanina, he says, mimalacha, if she doesn't do the work that a wife is obligated to do for her husband. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that the same thing is, v'china morir al ishtai. Just like the wife rebelling, we penalize. So if the husband rebels against her husband. So bishlam l'mandam mitashmish, we could understand, according to the one who says that the rebelling here is a reference to physical intimacy. So l'chayei, that makes sense, because the husband has obligations of ayna to his wife. So it makes sense that that is what the reference is of myredis, is the same as myred. L'mandam malacha, but according to the one who interprets that she's rebelling from doing the work she has to do, how could you have the equivalent of the husband being married la ishtai? What type of work is the husband obligated to his wife? I think Mar says, in yes, there is a certain amount of work that the husband's obligated to his wife. And what would it mean that he's married? But Imr Enizan, when he says that I'm not going to feed her, which that is in place of the work that she does, Vain Mefarin says, I'm not going to support her. So it's that malacha which she does for him, which he's refusing to compensate her and say that I'm not going to feed you in spite of the fact of the work that you're doing, and that's his obligations to her. That is, he's considered the husband's being married. Again, the equivalent of malacha of the wife to him is him to her. Now, however, the Gemara asks, "V'amar Rav," but Rav said, "Ha'oimer ein zayn vein mefarin." He said the husband says, which you're considering is the married of the baal to the ishtai by saying that I'm not going to feed, I'm not going to support. But Rav says someone that says that is Yaitzi Beitin Ksuba, he goes and he divorces her immediately and gives her her Ksuba because it's his fault now, because he's not doing his obligations. But the Mishnah teaches us that he doesn't divorce her immediately. At first, we increase the amount of the Ksuba and doesn't immediately divorce her. So how could you say that Mayrid, the husband to the wife, when he rebels, is that he's not going to feed her? Then we keep increasing. When Rav said that when someone says such a statement, he divorces her immediately and gives the Ksuba. So I think our answer is, but don't we first have to try to reason with him? In other words, maybe he's going to retract from his rebelliousness. Now, in that interim, when we're trying to get him to change his mind, then is when we increase the ksuba. You're right, when we realize we can't get him, then it's immediately. Then we say, okay, fine, so divorce and give her the ksuba. But it's in that interim where we're considering the husband to being married al ishtai, which is when we increase the ksuba, which is, again, the equivalent of the woman being meredis, which again, according to that opinion, is from malacha. Now, the Gemara is Meisvi. We learn in the Braisa that says, achasli, it's the same thing to me, whether a woman that's rebelling is an arusa, a woman that's engaged, where she's rebelling and saying, I'm not going to get married, or v'nesuul, or if she's a married woman and she's rebelling, where, again, the Gemara will ask regarding either interpretation, if it's rebelling from tashma shamita, or if it's rebelling from the work she has to do. But it doesn't make a difference if she's engaged or married. Vafila nida, even if she's a menstruating woman. Vafila chayla, even if she's ill. Vafila shemeres yavim, and even if she's anticipating a yavim where her husband died without any children and she's in a state of shemeres yavim, if she's being meredes, it all has the same halacha that we said applied to a meredes. Now, some have the girsa here, some don't, because the Gemara and Amud Beis will essentially ask the same question. But the Gemara's question is, Bishlim al mandam malacha, we could understand according to the one that says that meredes rebelling means from not doing her appropriate work. So Shabba, all these cases would make sense where there's an obligation of an arusa, or even if she's a nida or a chayla, that she has an obligation of doing work. But el mandam mitashmash, but according to the one that says that the rebelliousness in regards from cohabitation, nida bas tashmashi, why would a menstruating woman who refuses and rebels from what? From tashmash, be considered a meredes, where Nida can't have tashmash anyway. She's forbidden to her husband when she's menstruating. So amalach, that mandama would tell you that no, ena deima mishish lepas basale, as we mentioned in the previous stuff, that you can't compare someone that has bread in his basket, lemisha ain't like to someone that doesn't have. So although the Nida right now is forbidden, but since she's being in this way and saying, you know what, forget it, I'm not having tashmash with you, so it's more troublesome than someone that, even though he can't, but he knows he will ultimately, and here he thinks that who knows that she's going to refuse for who knows how long, and therefore, even though she's in need, that she's considered my redness, that we penalize her. Igadami, then those that say that the question is as follows, actually on the other way around. This brisa makes sense, according to the one that says that the merida, the rebelliousness of the woman, is from having tashmish. So that makes sense why, even if she's ill, but she's still able to have tashmish. And she doesn't have to do anything. She could just, she's karka oilam. So, and if she's being rebellious, it's still going to be applicable for a penalty. However, as we continue our Talmud Beis, Elamand Amma Malacha, but according to the one that says her rebelliousness is from doing work, Chayla Bas Malachi, is a sick woman obligated to do work? Of course not. So why would it say that a Chayla would still be considered Meredis if it's a reference to Malacha? So the Gemara concedes and says, Ella mitashmish kula amalei plegid have Meredis. Right, everyone agrees that a woman's refusal to have tashmish is considered a rebellious woman. And you're right, this brisa, obviously everyone would agree, is talking about that she's refusing to have tashmish, which would apply even to a chayla. Ki peligi mi malacha. The machlekes was if it would also apply to refusing to do the work. Marsa, but one of the two opinions we mentioned before, mi malacha lahav meredis, holds that not doing work is not considered a meredis. Or marsa, mi malacha lahav meredis, but the other opinion holds that no, even if she refused to do the work that a woman has to do for her husband, would be considered a rebellious woman and therefore would get the penalty that our Mishnah speaks about. The Gemara says, Gufo, we quoted the second part of this brisa on Amud Aleph. Now, the Gemara quotes the first part of that brisa. The brisa says, as our Mishnah said, Ham I read this al bayla of a woman rebels against her husband, so pechslam ksubasa, so they diminish from her ksuba, shiva dinar mishabas, 7 dinar every week. Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, shiva tarpa ikin, 7 tarpa ikin. Rabbi Seinu chazu benimna. Now, this part was not said in our Mishnah, that the rabbis came back and they counted amongst themselves, voting regarding the halacha, that we should not leave such a long time amount, we're just diminishing such a small amount every week from a redis, which is 7 dinar, until the time that it takes for Harksuba to take years. Rather, after 4 weeks of making announcements, they liquidate her entire Harksuba. And that is, they say they counted and they voted on this halacha, that the announcement will only be 4 weeks, zuachazu consecutive weeks. The shochel abezin and bezin sends her. Look, have you das? You should know. Even if your ksuba is 100 mana, you're going to lose it after 4 weeks. Not like the way our Mishnah quotes it, where it's just 7 dinar or even 7 tarpa ikin every week. Here we're doing 4 weeks and then you're done. If you're being meredis, and that is as the brisa says, we quote on Amud Aleph. Whether this applies if she's meredis as an engaged woman or a married woman, now the Gemara asks a question, which is the one in parentheses on Amud Aleph, and that's why those don't bring that. That Amr Bchir Bar Yisrael Shmuel, he asked him on this brisa, nida bas tashmishi. You said that everyone agrees this brisa is talking about tashmish. Is a menstruating woman a woman that's able to have tashmish? That if she's refusing to have tashmish, she's considered meredis. She can't have anyway. So Malay said to him, no, a refusing woman, even though halachically she cannot, is worse off because ain't a demon mishish lepas basal. You can't compare someone that, although he can't have it right now, but he knows he could have it soon because he has bread in his basket. Misha ain't lepas basal is someone that doesn't have bread in his basket. And here he's thinking that this woman, yes, she's in need now, but she's saying, you know what, forget about it. We're not having bia anymore. So that's considered someone that doesn't have pas basal, and she's considered by redness, and we will penalize her even in that case. Now, Amar Rambam says regarding what the Rabbi Seinu Wachazur Benimnu, that it's only after 4 weeks of announcements and then it's all gone, that Emach Rizn allowed that the announcements are only done Ela Bebatik Knesis of Avat Midrashas, only in the shuls and in the study halls. Now, Amar Rabba says actually, Dekanami Diktani, it's actually a precise reading of the Braisa, indicates, like Rambam Bachama said, because it says that it's Arba Shabbos Zohachazur, it's 4 Shabbos. One after the other. Now, Shabbos is a day when people don't work, and everyone's in shul and in the Beis Medrash. So, Shema Menuf, and that you can infer that where the announcements made, they're made in 4 consecutive weeks on Shabbos in shul and in the Bata Midrashas. Moreover, Amram Bachama, he says, Pamayim Sholcholom Bezdin. There are 2 times that they send her the message from Bezdin that just beware, you're going to be losing your whole ksuba, not 7 a week, but after 4 weeks, it's all gone. Achas koy machrasa, one time they would send it would be before they make the announcements. V'achas la'achachrasa, one would be after they make the announcements and to say, to tell her, you lost your entire ksuba. Nadash Rav Nachman Rav Chizda, Halacha Rabbi Seinu, he expounded the Halacha of Halzer Rabbi Seinu, not like our Mishnah, it's not 7 dinarim or tapu'ik in a week, rather 4 announcements and it's all gone. Now Amar Rava, Rava said regarding Rav Nachman by Rav Chizda's drasha hai borcha, that this is actually a mistake. It's inappropriate what he just said. So Amali Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, my borcha say, what's the mistake? What's wrong? Ano amritin hali, I told him this halacha, umishmeidi gavar abba amritin hali, and I said it to him in the name of a great person, umanei, who was it that said this halacha? It was Rabbi Yisrael Bechanina who said halachas like Rabbi Seinu. Why are you saying that it's a borcha? So the Gemara asks, so v'ihu, so Rava, who said it's a burcha, kaman saba, who does he hold like that he held that it was a mistake? Ki haditma, like this, that it was said, that Rava, amrav sheishas, halacha is nimlachin ba. Halacha is that we actually consult, that we try to talk her into her, and that's why we delay the get, and we continuously go to her and say, are you sure you want to continue in your rebellious type of ways? And in that amount of time, we keep on diminishing ksuba 7 dinar in a week, and that's why he held that it's a burcha to say that we take it after 4 weeks and it's all gone. Rav Huna by Yehuda Am Rav Sheshes, he says, Rav Sheshes is actually halacha einam lachem ba, that we do not consult with her, and meaning we just diminish it. Now the Gemara asks, regarding the clarification of our Mishnah's halacha, that we said that this halacha merida, whether it means merida from halacha or tashmish, but heichadami meredis, how do we qualify this rebellious woman that we force her, and we delay her get, and we keep on diminishing the ksuba, what qualifies as rebelliousness? So Amma Mema says, "De Amra Beinale," because we're talking about a woman that says, "I want to stay married to him, but Umitzaranale, I want to cause him pain." Such a type of a woman, we force her by diminishing our ksuba to say, "Look, you know, stop from your rebellious ways, because every week you continue doing this, we keep on diminishing from your ksuba." Now, however, Mema says, "Avol Amra Moisale," but if she says he's disgusting, I don't want him, I don't need his ksuba, then like a finala, then actually we do not force her to have this whole delay and keep on diminishing ksuba. Rather, immediately we have him give her a get, and she leaves without a ksuba. Mazutra Amr, he argues. He says, no, kafinila, even then we force her, and we say, look, stop your ways that you're doing these inappropriate things, and we continuously try to convince her, and we keep on diminishing the ksuba, even when she says, he's disgusting, I didn't want his ksuba. And moreover, Hava Uvdi was actually such an incident. The Achva Mazutra forced the woman to try to stop her merida, even though she said that he's disgusting. V'nafik minei Reb Chanina Masura, and look what happened, that he was successful, and Reb Chanina from Masura came out of that union. Now the Gemara says, v'lohi, that's not a rai, it's not a proof. Because hasam siyat d'shmai havadir, there was divine heavenly assistance that helped such a thing come out. But generally, if a woman says it's disgusting, and I don't want him, I despise him, and I don't need his ksuba, then we don't make this whole delay of keep on diminishing. Rather, he gives her the get and divorce her immediately without a ksuba. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this discussion that Kal Seder of Zvid Imarda, the daughter-in-law of Zvid, rebelled, and she said that the husband is disgusting to me, I don't want him. Now, have a tfisachad shira. So she was holding one cloth that she had brought in with her ksuba. Yes, so meaning that her father had brought in, had given as an adunya, which is from the wife's assets. Yosef Amemu Mazutra Ravashi. So Amemer, Mazutra, and Ravashi were sitting. V'yosef Rav Gamda Gabay and Rav Gamda was sitting with them. Now Yosef Yikamri, they were sitting and saying, Papaskin the Halacha, that Marda, a woman that's rebellious, which is what this woman is doing, she's saying, he's disgusting, I'm not willing to have tashmish with him or do the work. So if see, the Blue said Kayaman, she loses, additionally, besides her ksuba, part of that is, even her garments that she brought in with her in the dunya, which were evaluated in the ksuba, those garments that are worn out, that are still extant, then she loses them. And even this one cloth that she's holding onto, she loses now regarding the fact that she's in Maredis. So Amalu Rav Gamda said to them, Mishum de Rav Zvid Gavar Abba, because Rav Zvid is a great person, Machnefisulei, so you're trying to ingratiate yourself with him and try to do something which is against Halacha for his benefit, that his son should have and have his daughter-in-law lose out. But Vam Rav Kana said, Miboyaboy Rava, that this was a question Rava asked. We know that she keeps on losing her ksuba, and she loses at the end. But Rava wasn't sure if that would apply even to her blo'ois, which are her worn-out garments that she brought in with an dunya. And Valay Pasha, it was never resolved. So how can you go ahead and cause a loss to and cause a loss to the daughter-in-law because you want to ingratiate with Rav Zvid? Who said that it was never translated in the resolution, and therefore she should be able to hold on to that. Ikadamida, those that say that actually Yasvik Amida would saying that Marada, that she's a rebellious woman, she does not lose it, and therefore she gets to hold on to it. On that Amla Rav Gamda, Rav Gamda said to them in the second version, as we continue on top of Samachtam and Aleph, Mishum de Rav Zvid Gava Rabahu, because Rav Zvid is such a great person, and in this context it means, and he's not going to protest regarding the Psak Halacha because he's such a humble person. Safchisu le ladina ilavei, so therefore you turn the law against him, which is to create a liability to him, which is not appropriate, meaning to say that his daughter-in-law gets to keep it and that his son gets to lose it. But Rav Kahana said, "Mi boye boye le Rav le Pasha." This is a question Rav asked, and he never resolved the question. Now, which Taisus obviously points out the question, but as we said in the first version, it's Hamoitzi Mechaber Levaraya. So since she's holding on to it, we shouldn't remove it. Why is it against Halacha? So that Taisus says, because it's talking about that there were many cloths that she wasn't holding on to. And therefore, according to the way they were posking that Rav Zvid would have to give it to her, that would be against the Halacha, because it was never resolved. So why are you saying, because he's such an anam, he's such a modest person, that he won't protest when it's seemingly against the Halacha? Now the Gemara concludes that hashtad le'itma, now that it wasn't set, loy hochi b'lo hochi, it wasn't resolved. What is the Halacha regarding these worn-out garments if it goes to the wife or she loses it because she's a meredes? So the Halacha is tafsa le'mafkimina. If she's holding on to it, then we don't remove it from her. But if she's not grabbing it, then we don't give it to her. Again, based on the halacha of Amitza Mechaber Levaraya, whoever is the one that's holding it at that time, or the suffix, maintains it until we can verify the opposite to be able to remove it from that person's chazaka. Moreover, Mashin Alam, we delay the woman that maybe she'll retract and she'll stop being a meredes, she'll stop being a rebellious woman, for Tresu Yarchi Shata Gita, we delay her 12 months before she gets her get, not more than that. Now, for those 12 months, less lemezayim ibal, she doesn't get supported from her husband for those 12 months. Again, that she has this halacha of diminishing the ksuba, or after 4 weeks that she loses her ksuba. But after that, we don't give her the get right away because we want to see if maybe she'll change her mind. But after those 12 months, then she gets divorced. And for those 12 months itself, is that she doesn't get fed from her husband.